Good morning, brothers and sisters. Brother Jimmy Beckwith reporting here from End Times Prophecy News from the Bible. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count. That's taken from Revelation 13, verse 18. Well, for a long time, I have been thinking about the number 40 in the Bible. And I said to myself, for a long time, that I need to do a teaching on that. But I need to have information. I need to get wisdom on that. So today, I was talking with my friend Donnie Wright, and I was meditating on that with her and on the phone, and I was thinking about it, and you know, I was seeking the Lord in wisdom for it, just meditating on it. And as Jesus said, to eat the flesh of his body and to drink his blood is to meditate on his word that manifested in the flesh. So the word was manifested in the flesh, the Son of God. So I was meditating on that, and I said, I need more wisdom. I need the Holy Ghost, who you gave as a promise after the ascension of Christ, to teach us in all things. I need that wisdom. I cannot do it without you. And if I get it, I will give you all glory and honor. Well, he gave that to me today. All right? So this is a very important teaching for all of you. What does 40 stand for? What does 7 stand for? What does 6 stand for? What does 13 stand for? Now, you've probably heard me before teach you about what 7, 6, and 13 stand for. We're going to go over that. But first, we need to define 40. So first we're going to go over to the milk of the word. You got questions? Ask God questions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you praying that you would bless this teaching, that it would minister unto the people. Give them wisdom, understanding of your promises, your covenants. Teach them to fear you through this, to honor the King of Kings. And bless them continually as they meditate on God's word with me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What is the significance of 40 days in the Bible? From God Questions. We will go to the milk of the word. Why do I call it the milk? Am I trying to mock God Questions? No, I'm not trying to. But unfortunately, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, let me bring that up. Hold on. Let me explain to you what the milk of the word is. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What is he speaking about? I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For here thereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. I believe they were not baptized into Christ yet, as Romans 6 says, the whole chapter. They were not baptized yet. They were baptized like the disciples in Acts chapter 19, 1 through 7, by the baptism of John. Belief only. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men? 1 Corinthians 5:1, it is reportedly common that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his, the one is a boy, have his father's wife. Incest. Yeah, I don't think they're too spiritual, the church at Corinth. Well, not too spiritual, huh? And ye are puffed up, prideful, and have not rather mourned and humbled yourself, and he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you, among you. So Paul describes what the meat and the milk is. So when you are carnal, when you are not spiritual, when you are not righteous, you don't deserve the meat of the word. And he also tells you in 1 Corinthians 2, what does he say? For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. That's not me. This is the Holy Ghost is going to teach you today. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right. So let's go back to the milk of the word by... Got questions. The number 40 shows up often in the Bible because 40 appears so often in contexts dealing with judgment or texting or testing. Many scholars understanding it to be the number of probation or trial. These scholars. This doesn't mean that 40 is entirely symbolic. It still has a literal meaning in Scripture. 40 days means 40 days, but it does seem that God has chosen this number to help emphasize times of trouble and hardship. I totally agree so far. Here are some examples of the Bible's use of the number 40 that stresses the theme of testing of judgment. I am in total agreement so far. Let me check my... There we go. Yeah, everything is A-okay. In the Old Testament, when God destroyed the earth with water, he caused it to rain 40 days and 40 nights, Genesis 7:12, and Moses killed the Egyptian. He fled to Midian, where he spent 40 days in the desert tending flocks. Acts chapter 7:30 proves that. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, Exodus 24:18. Moses interceded on Israel's behalf for 40 days and 40 nights, Deuteronomy 9, 18 and 25. The law specified a maximum number of lashes a man could receive for a crime, setting the limit at 40, Deuteronomy 25, verse 3. The Israelite spies took 40 days to spy out Canaan, Numbers 13, verse 25. The Israelites wandered for 40 years, Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 5. Before Samson's deliverance, Israel served the Philistines for 40 years, Judges 13, 1. Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days before David arrived to slay him, Samuel 17, 16. When Elijah fled from Jezebel, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, 1 Kings 19, 8. Oh, and this is not an exhausted list of 40 in the Bible. Actually, the word 40 comes up 157 times. But we don't need to go through all of them to come to the truth of what 40 means. Stay with me. We're going to come to it soon. We need to go through the milk of the word first. And prove by the word of truth, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17, 7, that God questions does not have all the answers. In the New Testament, Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. There were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, very true. whether or not the number 40 really has any, here's where they fall when they say these statements. Whether or not the number 40 really has any significance is still debated. The Bible definitely seems to use 40 to emphasize a spiritual truth, but we must point out that the Bible nowhere specifically assigns any special meaning to the number 40. I totally disagree, and I'm going to show you those scriptures. But let's finish with got questions. Some people place too much significance on numerology, trying to find a special meaning behind every number in the Bible. Often a number in the Bible is simply a number. You know, God just wrote his words and his numbers over and over and over for no reason whatsoever. Even though the Bible says, here is wisdom, let him who hath wisdom count the number of the beast, Revelation 13, 18. But you don't just count the number of the beast. No, you don't. Often a number in the Bible is simply a number, including the number 40. It's just a number. You don't need to get all riled up about it, Jimmy. God does not call us to search for secret meanings, hidden messages, or codes in the Bible. I agree, he doesn't expect us to search for codes. There is more than enough truth in the plain words of Scripture to meet all our needs and make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17. Well, I agree with 2 Timothy 3:17. But that has nothing to do with count. For the man who has wisdom. And who was the most wisest man upon the face of the earth? Besides Jesus. Solomon. Okay. And of course no one is above Jesus, right? The wisest man on the face of the earth was actually Jesus. But prior to that was Solomon. Now. Okay. So let me go back to bear with me a moment. All right, so here is the definition of 40. I find this one to be perfect. Numbers chapter 14 verses 33 through 35. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of the days in which ye searched the land. What were they doing in the land? Looking for the promised land, weren't they? Even 40 days, each day for a year. He describes right here what a year is. It's a day is like a year. Shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. They are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed. And there they shall die. And another important scripture is Numbers 32, verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. What does this kindle? What does kindle mean? We use kindling wood for what? A fire. This is talking about the all-consuming fire of God. God is an all-consuming fire, is a scripture. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed, kindled. You see? Now, so the first question I had to God was, why do I not see 40 in the book of Revelation? I said, I understand that 7 stands for a purified soul and 6 stands for the number of a man, Adam. And after he was born again out of his iniquities and purified by God, he became a 7, born again. Because Adam did what he did as took a bite of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it was likened on to the second Adam, that he would bear the sins of his wife. The second Adam being Jesus Christ, and he bears the sins of all of mankind, which is his bride. We are the bride. And Adam bears the sins of his wife, who was deceived and beguiled by the serpent. Because Paul talks about that. That the first Adam was a similitude unto the second Adam, Jesus Christ. So, Adam was saved, and that's why Adam was given garments after he realized he was naked. Because when you were naked to the world, you were ashamed and showing your sin. That's the significance of being naked. So when God created or made garments for Adam and Eve, it was a sign that they have been saved by grace, by the Lord, you see. So, this is proving that they were a 7. Okay, now, we're still going to get to the number 40 and why it's not in the book of Revelation. I kept saying to myself, what is 40? Why is it? Because it's always a standing of trial. I mean, Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. And 40 nights being tempted by Satan. And at the end of that, and remember Jesus said before he went into the wilderness, I must prepare to go to the cross by going out into the wilderness. And Satan is out there and he tries to tempt Jesus. And when it's all done, what happens? Satan loses, right? So the number of 40 stands for putting down evil, right? But then the number 7 stands for putting down evil too. So I kept saying, why is 40 not in the book of Revelation? Why is 7, it's everywhere, is 7? 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials, 7 years, Daniel's 70th week. Why is it? Why is it always 7, and where is the 40? And finally, it came to me. The 40 stands for a trial and putting down evil, but not entirely. The 7 stands for putting all evil down into the pit and putting all of God's enemies down into the pit, as Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3 says. An angel came down from heaven, wrapped a chain around Satan, the devil, and set a seal upon him that he shall deceive the nations no longer. This is the end of the 7 years. Going into the millennium where the people of God have a rest, as Hebrews chapter 4 says. So the difference between the 7 years and 40 is, again, all the devils and Satan are put down into the pit. The prince of the power of the air can no longer deceive anyone in the millennium. That's what 7 stands for. So when I told you that a seven stands for a saved soul, that is true. Because even though we are still in our sin here on earth, but a seal has been put on us, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, and are we justified? Are we purified by our works? No. All our works are like rags, Isaiah 64:6. All our works are like dirty rags. We are purified by Jesus' blood at the cross. The just shall live by faith. You see? So when you were born again and you were justified by his faith, justification, sanctification, you are now a seven. So at the end of the 7 years, God shall destroy the earth by fire and put all the devils and Satan down into hell inside the earth. And earth and his enemies shall be his footstool. As Acts chapter says, in the book of Acts it says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. He's going to put all of his enemies down in that 7 years, and not one lost soul enters the millennium. And Satan and the devils are all put down, can deceive the nations no longer. That's what seven stands for. That's why there's no 40 in the 7 years. Not one mention of 40 in the book of Revelation for the 7 years of Great Tribulation. Never. But it's all throughout the Old Testament. Because Satan is not, and his devils are not put down to the pit. So the difference between 40 is 40 consumes the wickedness, but the devils are not put down into the pit yet. Now, you can even see this as we go back to God's word here. We even see this in Genesis 6 when in the flood that comes in chapter 7, right? The flood is right here. Get 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You see, you have it right there, 7 and 40. It's a significance. First, they're giving the warning to get into the ark in 7 days. But if you read a little further, you realize that Noah was told by God to bring all the animals and his family of eight into the ark, and the ark was shut. And then they waited 7 days in faith because they believed, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, as the text says. Hold on. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Obedience. Sanctification. And you also notice that Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. Six is the number of a man who has lost soul. So at this time, 600 years for Noah is standing for this time to cleanse the earth and move into the seventh. Okay, so let's go back to chapter 6, and here we are at chapter 7. And it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of God are the devils. We are sons of God in the New Testament. that we shall become sons of God. And Jesus says that we shall be like the angels, which are the sons of God. The sons of God are the angels. They're called other names too, like stars and in the Bible as well. But the point here is the sons of God are angels. And they are both righteous and fallen angels. These sons of God are fallen angels. They saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You see, fair meaning beautiful. They had the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, didn't they? But it's not of God, and perishes with the world. Proven right there, it's all about lust. 1 John 2:15-17. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And this is referring to 120 jubilee years, or 6,000 years. Because a jubilee year is every 50 years. And yes, jubilee is in the KJV Bible. Spelled J-U-B-I-L-E, not with two E's. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, which need to die. They're all wicked, because these sons of God are fallen angels. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The omnipotent, omniscient God saw even every thought was wicked before they even did it. And it repented that the Lord had, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And what does this repent mean? It means to change his mind. Because that's the root meaning of repent. Metanoia. In the Greek. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because he is a number 7. And in the next chapter 7, Noah is proven to find grace. And what happens? We have 40 days and 40 nights of judgment, huh? Trial. Trial for those who had grace, Noah and his family of 8. The 8 total. Grace. Because they were tried by obedience, by obeying God to get into the ark. But then at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, what happened? Every man and beast, just like God said, was killed. Did he destroy all of them? No, it says right here, and also after that. Because we still have devils on the earth, you see. And you notice that also that the judgment comes to the animals. Yes. And this is every time man sins, the judgment comes to the animals. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. This always happens. This is not for the children of Israel only. No. So, this always happens whenever the man sins. So, back to 40. So, when you go into your KJV word search, you can type in 40, and 157 times it occurs. It's really amazing. And this is the reason why you do not see 40 in the 7 years of Great Tribulation, where Great Tribulation saints are go up into heaven because they love not their lives unto death, Revelation 12:11, and were beheaded for their witness of Jesus, Revelation 20:4. And they shall be kings. They shall be priests in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where we have a rest for the people of God, the final Sabbath. So that's what 40 means, folks, my beloved brethren. And, you know, you have to remember, I forgot who said that, but you have to honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have to honor him in all things. Give him thanks for all the wisdom you receive. 40 is not in the great 7 years of Great Tribulation. Because the 7 years of Great Tribulation, where God destroys the earth by fire, now all of his enemies are put down into hell. So 8 stands for the end of this world. Because we understand 2 Peter 3:10-12. First we start with verse 8. But beloved, it be not... Oh, pardon me. Need to flip back over here. Bear with me a moment here. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, we also read the understanding in Numbers and also in the Old Testament that a day was also a year. But when God was speaking that, and he also says it in Ezekiel, when God was speaking that, it's for a certain prophecy. So he'll speak the prophecy and then he'll speak the day is a year. Hear the prophecy, be not ignorant of this one thing, that it one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Okay? 1,000 times longer than just 1 year, right? And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this is the understanding between the 7th and the 8th millennium. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What's these works that are therein shall be burned up? Well, when you go to the judgment seat of Christ, any work that is not good, it shall be burned up, because it was no good for a reward in heaven. But this is speaking of the earth. The elements shall be burned up, because it's talking about hell. Because at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Revelation 20, we have hell brings up all the dead to attend the great white throne judgment. This is the end of the 7th millennium, entering into the 8th millennium, but there is no 8th millennium on earth, because heaven and earth are burned up, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, as Revelation 21 starts out with. Seeing then that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So here Peter is referring to the day of the Lord as the 7th millennium. This is the understanding as of the 7th millennium and the 8th millennium. No, the dinosaurs were not created 75 or 100 million years ago. What a joke from Darwin's theory. And yes, I believe in dinosaurs. Definitely. They all died at Noah's Ark, Noah's Flood. Yes, they all died at Noah's Flood. And definitely. Why do you think we just read in Genesis 6 is that it was all evil continually? And what happened when he sent all these animals into the ark? Did he bring the dinosaurs in there? No, he did not. He destroyed all the dinosaurs and all the beasts because they were evil. You see? Satan and his devils was using the dinosaurs to kill mankind as well. That's right. I totally believe that. Now, so this in 2 Peter 3:8 is speaking about the day is as a thousand years. So this helps us to understand that God shall not strive with mankind in Genesis 6. His spirit shall not strive with mankind. Speaking of a later prophecy, because that's when Satan is going to be put down into the pit for the seventh millennium, as Genesis 6 was talking about. 120 years. 120 jubilee years times 50 is a jubilee year, is 6,000 years. You see? So, in this day of the Lord, we have the start here in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Jesus comes as a thief for the rapture. And at the end of the day of the Lord, which is the 7 years of great tribulation and the thousand-year reign of Christ, earth shall be burned up. So the day of the Lord is 1,007 years, approximately. Okay? So, then in verse 12, he says, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Remember, God destroyed every living thing on the face of the earth by water. At the end of the seventh millennium, the whole earth, including hell, shall be burned up with fervent heat, because all of the devils, all of the lost souls are going to the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. You see? So great white throne judgment happens at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. It never says where it is. I don't believe it's on earth at all. The great white throne judgment happens after the earth is burned up in fervent heat. And I believe it is the throne of God. So anyway, so that's what this is talking about. And that's why you don't see 40 ever in the 7 years of great tribulation or in the millennium, because 40 stands for trial and getting and testing of his saints in the wilderness to Jesus in the wilderness with Satan. But Satan is not put down to the pit, is he, after Jesus was tried in the wilderness? Satan is still not put down to the pit when Jesus ascends, is resurrected from the dead, and then he spends 40 days as a testimony on earth before he ascends into heaven. You see that? 40 days. What was the 40 days that Jesus was after he ascended, after he resurrected from the dead? He was 3 days in the tomb. He resurrected from the dead. Then what happens? 40 days, he is a testament on earth in the flesh with his resurrected body. And also, another thing is, he also brought forth the dead in Christ, and they walked out and were seen by many, as the text says. So they're seen, Jesus is seen, and so are all these others seen. Because, so what is happening here is that the text says that salvation is of the Jews, that the Jews seek after signs and wonders. And what did Jesus do when he went to the cross and then he went and he shone his resurrected body for 40 days? He's showing the Jews God manifested in the flesh first. Then he's showing them also that I resurrected from the dead. And yet he prophesies to Isaiah the prophet that he received, was not received, not of his own, and despised of his own people. You see? And what did they do? They said, crucify him, and traded him for a murderer and a thief, Barabbas, before he went to the cross, didn't they? Yes, they did. You see? So, he gave them their signs and wonders, didn't he? He manifested in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh. He gave them the signs and wonders. He gave them all the amazing things that he did, all the miracles, the signs and wonders. And then after he resurrected from the dead, he gave them the sign and wonder that I am resurrected from the dead as well. And still, Jesus became the stumbling block. Because the Jews, they always had to think about signs and wonders. They could never transition over to the just shall live by faith. But it was always the just shall live by faith, as Paul said, when referring back, and James and Peter referring back to Noah and Moses and all the prophets. It was always that way. So they could not transition out of the Jews. The Jews could not transition out of signs and wonders by the Almighty God. They couldn't transition. Even when God gave them the signs and wonders, they still rejected him. He became the stumbling block. You see, the spiritual stumbling block. So, that's what it means for 40 in the Bible. It is a purification of sin and wickedness. And even when I gave you these scriptures here, in Numbers, you notice it says right here, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. What is a carcass? A carcass is the skin on the bone unto death. This carcass represents the flesh. And what does it say down here? It says they gather together again. It says, do unto this evil congregation, and in the wilderness they shall be consumed. Not by fire, but they died, right? Okay. So even though it's lack of fire, God's all-consuming fire, it's not the actual consuming fire of the end of the earth, is it? No. You see? So that's why it's 40 days and 40 nights. 40 stands for purification, preparation to going to the cross for Jesus Christ. And what happened there? The devil has been denied deceiving God and tempting God, manifested in the flesh. You see? So that's what it means for 40. And that's why there is no 40 in the book of Revelation for the 7 years of Great Tribulation. Because seven is now taking place. Seven is all the souls that are going to live in the millennium. And there is no more sixes that will pass through the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. There is no more. There is a rest for the people of God, Hebrews chapter 4. But for those who have no rest, they are sixes, and they go to hell and the pit. That's the way it works, folks. Those are the meanings of 40, 7, and 6. And what does 13 stand for? The children of disobedience. Three times by Paul the Apostle, the children of disobedience. They may believe in God, just like the devils. As James chapter 2 says, the devils believe and yet tremble, but they have no obedience. They rebel against God. They rebel against his commandments and ordinances. That's what all those four mean in the Bible. But there's a big difference between 40 and 7. 7, you're purified spiritually. 40, you're only killed and cut off from the face of the earth. So there's a purification for 40 and a purification for 7, but 7 is far stronger. It's a total spiritual purification. And again, the 7 stands for a saved soul, purified and just purified by justification and sanctification. 40 does not mean that. That's not what 40 means. 40 means a test and a trial. And consumption of the wicked souls on the face of the earth. Anyway, I just wanted to give you that understanding for the day. I hope you understand these things. And every time you read 40, now you'll know. Every time you read 7, you'll know. You apply these and you realize. And you'll see salvation, you'll see sevens and sixes in scriptures, and you'll go, oh, yes. Because as I started out with, here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count. And that comes from Revelation 13:18. The chapter of rebellion, where the two beasts are. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Oh, let me flip over to that. And then it says, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So the number of a man, Adam, was created on the sixth day, but he was not born again yet. So this number of a man is speaking of to the deity of Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan. 666. That's what it means. They're all three are sixes. They're lost souls. And the false prophet and the Antichrist are cast into the lake of fire directly at the end of the 7 years of great tribulation. And I will leave you with one other understanding in Revelation 14. Those who take the mark of the beast, look what it says here, 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, this is a debatable teaching here. But I said to myself, could this be likened unto the false prophet and the Antichrist, as it says here in Revelation 19? It says, and the beast was taken, and him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, had received the mark of the beast, and cast them, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. What does it say right there? And them that worshipped his image. I just now caught that. Who worship his image in Revelation 14? Those who took the mark. Because he says in Revelation 13, anyone who takes, that everyone must worship the image. The people are going to build an image onto Satan. So it says right here, if any man worship the image and his beast. And it says right here, it says, which is poured out, they shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. What is this without mixture? I now got it. Because because it just told you right there in Revelation 19, verse 20. It says, with the false prophet, the beast, which is Satan. I'm sorry, this is the Antichrist. This is the first piece of Revelation 13. Okay, with which he deceived them, had received the mark of the... And then it says, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Both, but also them that worship his image. So now do you understand what Revelation 14, the cup without mixture, is speaking of? It means you don't pass go into hell. You go directly to the lake of fire. That's what it means. All those who take the mark of the beast, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on you without mixture, because you don't go to hell. You go straight to the lake of fire. And don't tell me it doesn't say that when it says it right there in front of your face. Verse 20. With which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. That's what it means to have no mixture. There's no mixture of his wrath. It's pure. So those who are died and lost souls have gone into hell. They have a mixture because they wait to the great white throne judgment. But you see, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and those who took the mark of the beast and worship his image, there's no mixture. They never attend the great white throne judgment. That's right. They don't attend. As it says right there, the beast was taken, the Antichrist, with him the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. They were all taken. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. You see, those who worship his image was the body of Satan. You see? That is that whore that rides the beast of Revelation 17. Anyway, I will leave you there with that understanding and give all glory I give all glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Holy Ghost, who gives me this wisdom to understand this meat of the Word. Thank you, and have a great day. May the Lord bless.